Can we give all that we have through giving one more time of applause to Jesus Christ our Lord? It's always good to gather in the name of our Lord. Amen. And I always get very emotional when I walk back with God in the last years. And we've come one cycle, 7 years, one full cycle. And God has been ever, ever so faithful. People come, people go. But God, the mighty one, is the unchanging God. He's the rock of our salvation. He is the first to come in and the last to leave the scene. Whatever he begins, in Philippians he says, I will complete. And so I can only say that we give thanks as a church that God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. 1.5 years ago, we moved into this place from Egate, which is only like 4 minutes away from here. And it was a drastic, radical move for us because it demands 3 more times of the rental that we used to pay in Egate. But the word of God that comes, we have to move by faith, and it has always been our journey. This church began 7 years ago with 7 people. 7 is a very nice, good number. And God is faithful to multiply. But we know that the word of God is not about numbers, but yet it is about numbers because God is interested in people, every one of us. And every one of us count. And every one of us will add to the kingdom of God. The battle of life is between the enemy, Satan, and God. So how many coming to God's side? And how many going to hell with Satan? That is the battle of numbers. Although we say that building a church is not about numbers, but yet we have to look at everyone who will add on to the numbers. Everybody counts. Every one of us count. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, you count for the kingdom? Father, we give to you this time as we honor your presence with us today. As we open up your word, O Lord, Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come and teach us. Lord, that you will give us light, that you will give us revelation and understanding and insight for the new season. Holy Spirit, teach us, our ultimate teacher and counselor. Father, I stand and hide behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And the Lord, you will use me as your mouthpiece. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I wait upon the Lord, I say, God, it's 7 years. And every time you never fail to give a prophetic word for every season for our church. And the last 2 years, God says, behold the promise. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12 says that, behold my promise. Behold my word. I will perform it. I will fulfill it. And there was something that we held on very closely because the word behold means is to be captured, to hold on, to gaze into, to lock in into that time with God and say, God, you're going to perform that word. You say that word and therefore I'm going to honor it. Therefore I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to lock in and I'm going to behold. Have you behold someone beautiful? Yeah? Turn to your neighbor. Behold that beauty, the handsomeness, the awesomeness of your neighbor. Behold. Have you seen people in love? It's so sad. Nowadays we go out courting couples, but they are all with the gadget. 2 people sit opposite each other. Instead of beholding the partner, they're beholding their gadget. I cannot understand. I just cannot. It troubles me. It troubles me every time I go out and I see people beholding their gadget instead of their partner. And in Zechariah 2:10, before we move into this place, we prayed and asked God for a prophetic word to come into this area. And it's not an easy area. When we came in, it took us 3 months to pray, worship before we break out and break through into the layers of darkness in this place. A lot of us come in and say, oh, it's so different worshiping in this new place compared to E-Gate. But 3 months of faithfully just pressing in through prayer and worship, very difficult task, but God is faithful. Because the Lord showed us as we were praying, there were layers of darkness over Sungai Pinang, over this area. And we are guarding the gateway, and that's why we are called the Gateway City Church. The name is Pick, not because it sounds nice. The name is Pick because it's prophetic word from God. That we have a place to be the watchman and the gatekeeper of Penang City. And we are guarding the gate. That is the Penang Bridge. And that's why God is very deliberate to put us at the beachfront, at the waterfront, to guard the waters of Penang. Amen. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, you are a watchman of God. Rise up and take your position. Say it to your neighbor. And take your position. I am very convinced that the people that God brings and will bring to plant in this church are watchmen, are gatekeepers, are people who know how to be alert and watchful, for the days are evil. Amen. And God is very selective. I'm not saying that other churches don't have that, but every church have a very special design. Every church has a special mandate. And our church has a mandate. We have to watch the gateway into the city. Penang have many gateway. This is just one of the gateway. Are you with me? And so when we pray for prophetic word to come in, the Lord say in Zechariah 2:10, for I'm going and I will dwell among you. I am going and I will dwell among you. Is that not comforting? That was the word we hang on to when we move into this place. And then I said, God, one more confirmation. Why did you put us here? And on the first Sunday we came in, some of you may have heard this. This lady called Mei Tao from a Chinese church somewhere in Penang. Faithfully, she stays here, but she faithfully prayer walk. And she prayed, and the Lord gave her a vision that there will be a church along Promenade. Prominent is this green color building. And so when she saw a group of us here on the first Sunday we met, she was thrilled because the Lord responded to her faithful prayers. So it's about kingdom. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom that God is planting. And so second Sunday, she walked in and she spoke to us. Or rather, the first Sunday she walked in, she spoke to us. And then I invited her, come back on the second Sunday and give your testimony. And we both met. She was in tears and I was in tears because she was a response to my prayer and I was a response to her prayer, because we just confirmed what God spoke for His kingdom. That was a confirmation that we heard right to come in this place despite the challenges, primarily the financial challenges. Yes. Maybe you all don't feel so stretched as the staff, okay? Maybe the staff can come and tell you how stretched 1.5 years have been. But God is good. Maybe besides myself, nobody has lost weight. We still have food to eat. We still have shelter. We still have warm bed. So we have, praise God. And she came in and she said when she was prayer walking, the word that God gave to her is someone. That this place will be a river. It's going to be a river that's going to flow in this temple. And I was so thrilled. And today I'm going to talk about the river of life that's in this place. The river of life in this place. Basically coming back to the basic. Nothing new under the sun, but coming back to the very basic. I said, God, what is the prophetic word for us in the coming season? Pastor Edward has talked very much about the season of change. But what does it entail in our season of change? He talked about the change of attitude, the change in authority. Coming up soon, I won't review. We thank God for the last, We thank God for the last couple of days in Planet Shakers Conference called Awakening. And I'm really, really glad and praise God that some of the youth are really awakened in the conference. And the funny thing is, all the messages and elective workshops have gone to. And while we were gathered every evening to have a debrief, it's the messages that we have been preaching to the church. Nothing new under the sun. And we make a joke out of it. We have to pay 130 ringgit to hear from the pastors from Australia so that they are reminded of the local pastor in Gateway City Church speaking into their lives. And so we laugh and say, maybe we should make you guys pay 130 ringgit every Sunday. Then it will sink in. Because say, FOC thing, you just take for granted. When you pay, you really listen to it. So we make a joke out of it. But basically, it is the consistency of the Word of God. God is the unchanging God. Whether the word released in a mega church or a word released in a small church, whether a word released in Australia or the word released in Malaysia, Africa, America, God is a universal global God, and therefore His word is consistent. Amen? He's a constant God. He is consistent with His word. And so if that word is being repeated, and you're hearing the same word again and again and again in the same season, you got to take heed. Because if you don't, we will be walking in a vicious cycle because we never learned. So when we don't take instruction, God has to say again. We go one round, we never obey. We go one round, we never obey. Right? You have to do until you get it. So it's His consistent word. But let's look at Psalm 1. Very, very common psalm. And I'm going to read only the first three verses of Psalm 1. If you're taking notes, you entitled it River of Life. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on His law, He meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in a season and leaf does not wither. In all that He does, He prospers. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of Your word, because Your word has power to change, to transform, to heal, to build, to love, to encourage. Today, God, as I stand here declaring Your word, I pronounce life in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist began psalm by saying that the godly or the blessed is a people who will stand, who will sit, who will walk in the counsel of the godly. Amen. How do you become godly? You have to be in the company of the godly. Three things you must remember. Stand, sit, walk. In the counsel of the godly. In the counsel, in the company of righteous people. And he went on in verse 2 to say that his delight is in the law of the Lord. The key word is delight. Back to what I asked God for, the prophetic word, for our new season, God says, simple, just delight in my law. Just delight in my word. And the whole time I was asking for more. And in a conference, Pastor Russell Evans from Planet Shakers speaking to the pastors during luncheon. And he addressed the pastors with the same word, honor the word of God. And I said, God, oh, thank you for that confirmation. Nothing new, but it's back to basic. We have to take delight in the word of God. We have to raise generations who will love the word of God. And what it simply means, the word delight, is to have that strong pleasure towards something or someone. To have that satisfaction. And that satisfaction and pleasure comes from what? Comes from the word of God. Comes from the word of God. Simple. Yeah? Simple, but not easy. Yes or not? We all know that. But God has to say again in this season, delight in the law. Delight. Take that strong pleasure in my word. For some of us, char kway teow is more delightful. You take delight because the prawns is looking at you. You take delight in that. So the word delight can be very simple, but it actually means that you have so much affection, so much pleasure towards something or someone, and that delight must begin in the word of God. We must love the word of God. Hebrew says that delight, there's two words to Hebrew. I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I may not pronounce it correctly, but there's two. He says, hippies or herpes, I don't know, H-E-P-S, or the word rasa. It means that you have this, that strong inclination towards something. That's what Hebrew meant. And the word delight occur 110 times in the Bible. And the synonym to delight is please. And we will find that a lot of times in the Bible, the word please appear. The meditation of my heart may be pleasing to you. 350 times it appear in the Bible. And that is what God is trying to reinforce to us, that we have to take delight. We have to let the meditation of our heart be pleasing to Him. What are you meditating these few days? Biology facts, economics, statistics. Schedules, bills. You say, huh? Meditating on bills? Yes. I know, because my husband has to meditate when to pay bills, when this, that. That's meditation. When you spend time thinking of it, that's meditation. But God says the meditation of our heart must be pleasing to Him. Joshua chapter 1. And Joshua chapter 1 and the book of Joshua is so close to our heart because it is the book of Joshua that thrusts us out to build Gateway City Church. It is the study of the book of Joshua. That is the powerful element of the word of God. When you really get sucked in and eat it, it will cause you to do something crazy. And starting this church 7 years ago was a crazy move. It was a crazy move for Pastor Ed and I. How many times we look into each other's eyes and say, don't you think we're crazy? We're always doing these crazy things. It was a crazy move. But the word of God has power. Well, when you hear the word of God, when the word of God impresses into your spirit, you cannot help but to obey. Because if you don't, and you're walking closely with God, you cannot not obey God if you're walking closely. The word will just come and nag over you day and night, night and day. God's word will just nag over you until you surrender. God always win. He always, always win. We don't have to fight with Him. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Every time you struggle with God, don't have to struggle. The earlier you give it up and surrender, the better it is. And so, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, to meditate upon the word of God day and night. And what is the result? Your life will be prosperous and successful. You want to be prosperous and successful? Meditate on the word day and night. Delight in his word. Spend time in the counsel of the righteous and the godly. You will be prosperous and successful. Simple secret in life. How many students tells me, this is my exam period, I cannot come to church. This is my exam period, I have no time to pray, I have no time to read the word of God. I say, is this an exam period? The more you have to read the word of God, because that is the secret to your success to be a prosperous and successful student. And how many times I told God, why didn't you save me earlier? Why didn't I know you earlier? Because I was a very hardworking student, but I did not have God. I worked very hard. I studied very hard. My parents don't have problem asking me, study lah. You know, theirs was reversed. Enough already. You must eat, you know, you must sleep. So I wish I knew God so that I don't have to study so hard. Then I can read the Bible and spend time with him, and then he will honor me. So the secret to being a successful student is honor the word of God, and God will honor you. You want to be a successful in your career? Honor God. Honor his word. Delight in his word. You want to be a successful parent? Honor God. Delight in his word. You know, how many times as a mother, you know, I have someone who had a miscarriage many years ago. And I went to visit the person in the hospital, and we were talking about motherhood. And this person never had a child until now. And while we were talking about motherhood, it so happened in that season, I was taking a course on early childhood education. And that's not on motherhood, but that's being a teacher to preschool children. But that taught me a lot on understanding children and the different way and methods of reaching out to the children. And so when we were exchanging that conversation, a mom came in and she sarcastically say, it's okay lah. When you become a mom, you will just know how to be a mom. You don't need to read books. You don't need this. You don't need that. And I thought, that's very prideful, because as a mom, we really need God so much. You may not need to read a lot of books to be a good mother, but you need the word of God to be a good mom, a good father. And how many times I have to bend my knees and cry before God and say, God, what do I do in this discipline situation? What do I do in this stage of life of my kid? What do I do when all that I have done, which I think is creative parenting, and I'm exhaust all creative ideas. Now my kids have heard me say this. I say, for the last years of motherhood, I've exhaust all creative ideas how to be a creative mom. And how many times I have to come back to Jesus and sit down. And then, ding, God just say, why don't you do that? And every time it works when it comes from God. So you want to be successful? It's the word of God. You want to be successful? Is in the presence of God. It's spending time with God. So everything comes back to delighting in his word. And so how many times we talk about loving the word, eating the word, embracing the word, living the word, but we have to get into the act to do it. We have to delight in it. We have to declare it. We have to decree. Now, declare is just proclaiming, pronouncing. But decreeing is saying it is done. That means we are declaring with a conviction that it is done. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. It is finished. That's a powerful, powerful, simple phrase. It is finished. My children love this. Coming back from a tiring day, and I tell them, it is finished. The kitchen dishes, it is done for you. They're like, oh, thank you, mommy. It is finished. God say, it is finished. When we are struggling and struggling, hear the triumphant cry of Jesus. It is finished. It is finished for you and it's finished for me. I don't have to struggle. Yes, we have to endure the journey that God puts us in towards our destiny. But verse 3, let's look at verse 3. When we delight in the word of God, when we spend time in the counsel of the righteous, what happens in verse 3? Can we look at that? He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and the leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Now the word for this church is, this is the river of life in this church. And we who meditate upon the word of God, that we who pray in the presence of God, we who delight in the word of God, we who declare the word of God, we who decree the word of God, we will be like trees planted by the streams of water. And streams are ongoing. Streams continuously flowing. It is not a stream. It is not a river if it's not flowing. Amen? A river has to come from an upper source, right? And the upper source is God. It flows down. And the lady who walks in and prophesy and release the prophetic word for Gateway City Church 1.5 years ago and say, this place is the river of life. I take it seriously that this is the river of life. We've been declaring in the boiler room that this will be the place of healing, that people walk in, they will get healed. When people walk in, they will be touched by God's love. When we look at stream or river, sometimes it is very uneventful, especially is Sungai Yang Kecil-Kecil, right? Maybe if you go Sabah, you have bigger, deeper river. But in Semenanjung, most rivers are pretty small. Especially Sungai Pinang kat sini, right? It's very small. It's, look at river. Sometimes so uneventful. But we do not know the power that is within, the undercurrent that is within that river. Do you know what I'm talking about? Many, many years ago, when Crystalline was very small, my husband took me for whitewater rafting with a group of youth in our previous church. You must know that we are an adventurous family. We do crazy stuff. New thing we haven't done is bungee jumping. Now that I'm at this age, I'm not sure if I will still try bungee jumping. But Ed would say, let's do white water rafting with the youth. I say, good, let's go. And you have done white water rafting so many times, but I always have not gotten the chance. Because he would take the mission team to Sabah, and after their mission trip, they would stay back and do white water rafting. And how I envy him. Because he promised me in the first year we got married, he said, let's go to Pulau Paya and let's do diving. So I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Belum pergi lagi, you know. So he says, I'll take you white water rafting. I said, yeah, I'm waiting. I'm still waiting, you know. So he says, Sabah, very nice, you know. And the gradient 4.5, something like that. So we engaged this tour guide who take us for white water rafting. Where's the place again? I forgot. Gopeng. So he said, this one, I think is gradient 2.5 or 3, something like that. So when we reach, you know, so he gave all the instruction, and then we reached that place, and then I saw the river, and I thought, oh, sad, man. It looks so uneventful. It's so quiet. It's so gentle. I can just bring my kids for white water rafting, I thought. And so, we got on the raft, and we have to, I know some of you have heard my story. We had 3 people or 4 people in a raft. And so we tried to pair everybody so that there's 1 experienced person on the raft. And so I thought, I was in the most secure raft because I have my husband who is a swimming instructor, certified swimming instructor, a diver who's done white water rafting umpteen times. This is Sapsapsoi. And I have the tour guide who's supposed to be a doctor in whatever, whatever. So I thought I was in the safest raft. And I have the 3rd gentleman in my raft, which is the most matured, adventurous guy in my team. I cannot be more lucky than ever. And Penny envied me because she was put in a raft with some youth, I think. I can't remember. And I knew that time. She said, I want to be in that raft. I want to be with Edward. I want to be with that so and so. But I don't know how they put. So I thought I was in the safest raft. And look, pathetic river, you know, so gently moving. So I said, okay. So we went. And I turned to Edward and said, what is boring, man? Like, I don't know what the rafting is this. And before I knew it, on the second turn, the whole raft went. And I remembered, I was very calm. Generally, people say I'm very calm and composed. So I try to keep up to that integrity of my composure. So I remember the guide say, when you're under the raft, don't panic. We'll come to you. Don't panic. Just stay where you are. It's just the raft. That's why it's dark. Just stay there and we'll reach out for you. So when I was under the water, everything was dark. It was pitch dark. It was totally dark. I have my jacket, but I'm not a swimmer to begin with. Because I would say if you can't thread water in the deep ends, you're not a swimmer. So even if you can swim from A to B, but if you can't thread water for a long time and you can't swim in the deep end, you're not a swimmer. See, that's married to a certified swimming instructor. So I was very calm and I tried to be very calm and I waited. It seems forever in the pitch darkness. Nobody came. And I was trying to hold my breath. And before I knew it, the water current just switched me around. Like have you seen the washing machine? It just felt that way. And for that moment, I said, God, this is not right. This is not right, you know. So I was going round and round in the undercurrent. And I was having difficulty to breathe. I was trying to catch my breath. And I was trying not to panic. So I would come up. And then I can feel the gush of water that pushed me up from the bottom. And so I came up and I saw a little bit, just a glimpse of light. I saw this hand coming, a glimpse, you know, like a shadow. Okay. I'm like, okay. It must be the tour guide. But before the hand reached me, I was down again. The current pulled me down again. And I went round and round and round. And then it happens 3-4 times. And then I push up 3 times. The hand came and never got hold of me. And suddenly, I was locked in this encounter with the Lord. I felt like it was a huge bubble that cocoons me right under that powerful current. I knew that that's it. There's nothing that I can do in that undercurrent, that powerful undercurrent. It seems forever. I really don't know how long, you know, you have to ask Edward. He thought on that day he would lose his beautiful wife. So in his mind, he thought he has 4 minutes to revive me. And he was looking out. If I don't come out, he will go right down at the river end because the body will float down, right? If I float down. So he had 4 minutes to revive me. And so I was down there. I have no time to think of him, of course. Huh? I was like, and then go down again. Now, it was not funny and it was not fun. It was not funny, but it was not fun. But I really thank God for the faith he gave me at a point of time locked into that cocoon. I was locked into the encounter with the voice of God. And it was when I surrendered. I said, Lord, if my day is up, it's up. I will go home. I said, I'm not going to struggle. I will surrender my life. You want to take me? You take me now. Don't let me suffer. You know how when water goes in, it's like, I can't even hear my own voice like that, you know. And I was freaked out because I was hearing my own breathing. So I was pushed up and down 3-4 times. Of course, that day when I came back, I never told my parents what happened. Because my father had this thing about waters, you know. And so, finally, the 4th time, the moment I prayed to God, I said, take me, Lord. I surrender. The moment I surrender, that was a lesson of surrender. The moment I surrender, the Lord pushed me up and the guide came and pulled me out. And I saw in the guide's face, all pale and shocked, you know, that he's going to die because he thought he's going to lose me. I think then he'll be sued. And then I came out, I was coughing. And then I look at these three guys, I'm like, I thought I was in the safest raft. Come on, only Jesus is the safest place to be within. So after I cough, and cleared, I asked Edward, what would you do if you today you lose me? So he told me like his plan. He was looking out for the body that floats down, and then he has 4 minutes to revive me. Why I'm telling you this story is, do not underestimate the power that is within the undercurrent of a running river. It looks very gentle. It looks very mild. And for the rest of the journey after I came out on the raft, it was totally, totally pathetic and boring. It was all the way. There's no gradient anymore. But God has to take me through that white water rafting to know what it means of the encounter with Jesus Christ when our faith is in Him. To encounter Him and taught me a lesson of surrender. To understand the power of the undercurrent in the river of God. I will never forget that rushing water under that gentle river. And when I was preparing for today, I was reminded of that encounter. That we may think that everything seems very normal every time we gather. But if we come with expectant heart and spirit to know there is a powerful undercurrent in the river that's running within the church of God, you'll be blown away with what God can do in your lives. Amen. There is an undercurrent in the river of God in this place, in this place. What does river do? Psalm tells us that the trees that are planted by the river, they are irrigated. They get the supply of water and nutrient from the river. Now, long, long ago, every civilization in the world begins with the river. Every civilization begins with the river. If you study history, if you study geography, you will know that people will begin their habitation around and near the river because of agriculture. Yes? Well, you look at me like, nga-nga. Never study geography and history, is it? No, Kevin said. I don't know what you're studying in school nowadays. I really don't know. Because in those days, we learned geography. I'm told these days there's no geography being taught in school. I'm like, oh, serious? And then history? Also, no, I still don't know. So what do y'all study? Every civilization begins with agriculture because rivers are running. So in geography, if you study geography, you will know all the big rivers in the world. That's where all the big civilization begins and continue until today. And crops, that means when there is a river running, there will be crops. Because that's where you get the supply. That's where you get the nutrient. And where there is a river running, there is energy, not just irrigation. There is generation of energy. Rivers generate energy for us. Have you seen that windmill? Oh, we have a Dutch lady here. She can tell you. Kirsten is from Holland. I always dream to go there and to see that beautiful thing that I study in geography and wear their clocks and dance. You know the dance? Yeah. River gives us generation of a powerful energy. When you are drained, why do I preach from Psalm and why did God speak from Psalm? Because this year I told God, last year is not exactly spiritual rest for me. I said, Lord, I really, really need a refresh and a revive spirit this year. I felt like I was about to burst with lots of things that God was putting in. And I told God, I can't handle this until I get a bigger suit or a bigger wineskin, a new wineskin. But I feel very drained to do that. And so I told God that I'm going to restudy the book of Psalm, because the book of Psalm is my favorite book. It's very poetic, and I love poems, and it's where I get my refreshment. So the entire week, I've been reading Psalm 1 every day. And so when you're tired, go back to the Word of God. Delight in the Word of God, and that's where you get the regeneration of your energy, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's emotional, whether it's mental. The energy comes from the source itself. Thirdly, the river gives us transportation. In those days, rivers will take people from one place to another. River takes us to our destiny. When we delight in the Word of God and planted by the river of God, it will take us, it will deliver us into our destiny. Are you with me? It is the Word of God that's going to propel us into our destiny. Whatever that calling or destiny that God has put in your and my life, it will be the Word of God that's going to propel us. It's not us, but it's going to be the Word of God that we hang on, that we declare, that we decree will take us to the place. Pastor Russell Evans was saying, what is the key that unlocks breakthrough? We were praying for breakthrough. We want breakthrough. Everybody wants breakthrough. Every church wants breakthrough. Every nation wants breakthrough. But the key is faith. We all know that. And we preach on faith very much. That's Pastor Edward's baby. Faith, 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 faith. Some people say, everything, faith, faith, faith. Yes, faith unlocks breakthrough. But what unlocks faith? Russell Evans was saying, what unlocks faith? Honor. That's why he wrote the book, Honor Key. Honor the Word of God. When you honor the Word of God, that means you take into account, when you delight in His Word, when you declare His Word, when you pronounce His Word, when you proclaim His Word, when you decree His Word, when you live His Word, when you breathe His Word, that will unlock faith. And when faith is unlocked, it will unlock your destiny. Amen. Get it in? Simple? Simple but not easy. So in this atrium, I believe there is a river running. There's a river running in this place that's full of life. There's a river running in this place that's full of power. There's a river here that we need to constantly come back to be regenerated. And as we are regenerated and irrigated by this river of God in this place, it will transport us into our destiny. Young people, middle-aged people, old people, we all have a destiny to walk towards until the day the Lord calls us home. Amen? Amen? Ezekiel 47, can we look at that before we end? Ezekiel 47 was another prophetic word that God released while we were gathering here for our boiler room. It talks about the river that runs from the temple. It talks about the river that God was showing Ezekiel that runs from the sanctuary that begins to bring life. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, I allowed you to behold, to be captured. Water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out of the way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gate that faces towards the east. And behold, again, the water was trickling out of the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river many trees on one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. Everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea. From Engadai to Anaglim, it will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of many kinds, little fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither. Again, Ezekiel says, their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month. Because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. These are powerful words that we have to hang on to. Thus says the Lord God, this is the boundary by which you shall divide the land for inheritance among the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions, and you shall divide equally what I swore to give to your fathers. This land shall fall to you as your inheritance. This shall be the boundary of the land on the north side from the great sea by the way of Hethlon to Lebo Hamath and on to Zedad, Berothat, Sibram, which lies on the border between Damascus and Hamath, as far as Hazer Hatikon, which is on the border of Haran. So the boundary shall run from the sea to Hazarnan, which is on the northern border of Damascus, with the border of Hamath to the north. This shall be the north side. On the east side, the boundary shall run between Haran and Damascus along the Jordan between Gilead and the land of Israel to the eastern sea as far as Tamar. This shall be the east side. On the south side, it shall run from Tamar as far as the waters of Meribah Kadesh. From there along the brook of Egypt to the great sea, this shall be the south side. On the west side, the great sea shall be the boundary to a point opposite Lebo Hamath. This shall be the west side. So you shall divide this land among you according to the tribes of Israel. You shall allot it as an inheritance for yourself and for the sojourners who reside among you and have children among you. They shall be to you a native-born children of Israel. With you they shall be allotted an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. In whatever tribe the sojourner reside, there you shall assign him his inheritance, declares the Lord God. You see, these tribes were residing along the river, and they were given their inheritance along the river. But it is said in the midst of all these verses that where the river runs, there will be life. There will be life. And the fruit that bears along the river, it will be their food. And the leaves, it will be for healing. It's for healing. And it ties in with Psalm 1, that when we delight in the law of the Lord, we will be like trees planted by the sea. We will not just bear fruit for ourselves, but the leaves we bear for will bring healing to the nations. Are you with me? The leaves that we bear for will be for the healing for our city. Are you with me? And Ezekiel says that the water shall rise, not just ankle deep, not just knee deep, not waist deep, but it will drown you if you're trying to pass through. But if it's the water that runs from the sanctuary of God, it is for healing. It is to bring forth life. And so my people, my church, my family of God in Gateway City Church, can I encourage you, do not take for granted the river of life that flows within this church. That you got to come back regularly to come and be planted by the stream and receive. As you receive, you will go out and pour. As you receive, you will go out and give. You can't give to the nations. You can't give to the society. You can't give to the city. You can't even give to your family unless you receive from the Lord. Are you with me? I have only 4 children to give to my service at home besides the church. And 4 children is enough to make my whole life completely full. I have 12 this trip to KL. And when we were putting out and ordering food, and some of them were calling me mom, I said, I really wish I have 12 kids, cheaper by the dozen. But I said, I can't imagine how many stacks of trays of eggs I have to buy each week just to feed you breakfast. Because even Ashton, at this age, can take 2 eggs at one go. I used to give him 1. He said, 2 is okay, I can take it. 2 is not much. I'm like, okay, praise God, I have 1 son only. But I really love to have a lot of kids. I wish I got married much, much younger so that I can have more kids. Because they are such a delight. But kids, they bring so much joy. But they also drains you out completely, depleted at the end of the day. I just read a Facebook post called Hypervigilance Mom by a mother with a kid. And she wrote this post, and then my friend posted up, and I read, like, how mothers think that we are very rested, but actually we are not resting. Because we are always wanting to give to our children. You know, we worry about this, we worry about that, their food, their laundry, they are going to school, their homework, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And on and on. So all these moms who read the post say, oh, I thought I was very rested, actually I'm not. And then one mother say, at the end of the day, I'm so tired. By the time I put my kid to sleep, I close my door. Then only I can plong to sleep. And then my friend who posted it say, and we only have 1 kid. What happens if we have more? Welcome to motherhood. Only mothers can understand this, right? But I watched Cheaper by the Dozen. I love that show. And I told God, actually, I would love to have 12 kids. I'm not sure if Pastor Ed would want 12 kids. Because right now, even eggs alone, I don't buy from Tesco anymore. It's too expensive to buy from Tesco. It's not fresh. So now I ask Pastor Ed, when you go up to Balik Pulau to play floorball, would you go to the farm to get me fresh eggs? Because the eggs are big, fresh, and cheap. And so he will always ask me, how many trays do you want? I say, 1 tray, that's only 30. But actually, 30 doesn't really go very far. If you do your math. So now he has to buy 2-3 trays every time he goes up. It doesn't last us very long. So I don't know if Cheaper by the Dozen, how many trays. I've read stories about mothers who feed many children. And every time they go grocery shopping, she has 3 carts. 3. With GST coming. Wow. Scary, right? But my point is, we all have things and people to drain us. Our source of energy is coming back to the river of life. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Old song. We all sing this in Sunday school. But how true do we believe? Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Do we believe it? That the power we carry makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Then, after that, open prison doors, set the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Then go spring out, oh well. Within my soul, spring out, oh well, and make me whole. We sing this in Sunday school. I never went to Sunday school, but I've heard Sunday school kids singing this song. How many adults actually believe in the truth of this song? Raise your hand. Thank you. I'm so thankful. I have believers in the Word of God in this place. The song says there's a river of life flowing out from me. Where do we get that river? We get it from God. Makes the lame to walk and the blind eyes to see. Open prison door and set the captives free. Paul, he was singing. The prison door swing open. And they were free. How many of us still believe in the miracles of God in our contemporary times? It doesn't mean that we don't witness it. It doesn't happen. We got to believe it, become it. We got to believe, we got to receive, we got to conceive it. Then only it become truth for us. Then only it become reality. Don't just sing. Don't just teach our Sunday school teachers. Don't just teach the song to Sunday school children for the sake of fun and to make your class alive. You got to believe it. You got to teach your children that this is the power of the Word of God. How many of us believe that when we stand and cast out evil and do deliverance, that we rely on a powerful source, the river of life that flows through us into the person? That is the power that is locked in the river of God. And you are seated in the midst of this river. And you are the recipient of the river. You are the recipient of the blessing of the river. And you don't just receive and be blessed. You're supposed to receive and go and give. Receive and go and give. And so as I end with the worship team come, in this atrium, I want us to believe, I want us to declare, I want us to call out to God, I want us to decree that there is a river of life flowing in this place that's going to cause us to be fruitful, that's going to cause us to carry the water of healing to our city, to our nation, and to nations beyond. Amen?